welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Echo Swinford from Echo's Voice in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey, welcome to the Presentation Podcast. And this week, things are changing up a little. We've got Echo joining us. We'll get more into that. But among the three of us that are on this conversation, what's happening in studios for everyone?
Why don't you go ahead, Troy?
Oh, sure. Well, I actually just wrapped up a large tech company user conference, and it was a lot of fun. But for this one, we were brought in not only to develop these ultra-wide presentations, which in and of themselves are fun, but work with the AV company on a lot of the pre-show technical specifications. And that's something I've really, really gotten I've really started enjoying this over the past few years. We've kind of expanded our capabilities or our offerings, or maybe it's the asks that are given to us. So in this case, we look at all the equipment that's going to be in line and the presentations, and we make kind of this visual preset list of everything needed for computers, demo devices. We have iMac, live camera, and video rolls. So for this particular show, we had 28 presets that I had to hand off to our switch op and say, here you go, build all these. This is where the pips go, and these are the combinations of devices. And it was great because we all had this reference sheet. So I've been doing that more and more, but this one was pretty extensive. And that actually was without the backup system. So theoretically, there would be a whole second set if we did backups true, you know, coded hard punch in backup, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know how you do it because I have, you know, two huge conferences a year and that wears me down. I'm actually grateful to have what I call a normal summer. Really odd how things come in waves. This summer, I am working on very large slide conversion projects. So as a result of corporate rebranding at these organizations, we have huge slide libraries that not only did we build the templates for, but we're converting then hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of slides
really?
To fit the new branding. Oh, wow. Yeah. The good news is in most of these slides, I built their original templates from four or 5 years ago. So it's pretty easy.
Makes life easier.
Yes.
It should. I mean, depending on what's happened to the content throughout the way. But here's the question, because if it was 4 years ago, were those 4x3 and you're now 16x9? Are you staying the same aspect ratio for this conversion?
Okay. So the smaller company, they have like 600 slides to convert, they converted from the 4x3 format to the widescreen. So that was tougher. The other company, the large company, is sticking to, they changed it slightly. They're going with an 8.5x11 or 11x8.5 size because they print all of these. They're pitch books. You know, financial services print their stuff.
Yep, we do a lot of those. A lot of analysts and a lot of a lot of books.
Yep. So that was pretty apples to apples. The whole process is pretty slick.
That's cool. Echo, we would like to welcome you to the Presentation Podcast. Echo, it's fantastic to have a guest because I know we're not normally, you know, kind of set up as an interview type of thing, but this is a great topic because there's something out there. But could you give us a 30-second, here's what I do in the presentation design world and something interesting about your world that's currently going on?
What do I do in the presentation design world? I am probably known.
You do?
What? What don't
what
I
don't you do?
Would be the better question.
Oh yeah, I'm kind of your all-purpose presentations geek, and if it's PowerPoint related, especially, templates is what I'm really known for, and so I always have template projects going on. But you know, like you said, Sandy, things do come in waves, and I've had a whole bunch of corporate rebranding templates lately. So we've had to either, if I built the original, I can often use the same chassis and then update it for the new branding, but then also, a lot of times we have to start from scratch. You know, it just depends, and it's like that. I do have a really big project making a whole bunch of templates and presentations ADA accessible. And I've done a couple of those, so it's kind of interesting. And, you know, it's some tedium, but it's just something that has to be done. And we have a bunch of capabilities presentations going on right now. That's also seems to be the latest wave, along with the typical rebrandings and things. And then my travel season kicks off in, I think, early August. So I'll be on the road again like Troy, but my meetings aren't usually quite so big. I get a little more sleep, maybe.
I will say we get the opportunity to work together at several corporate events throughout the year, which is always fun and exciting, hopefully, for everybody.
Looking forward to the next ones.
Always.
Well, and then there's always the guild stuff, which tends to overtake my life at times.
Well, this podcast is really exciting. It's a great conversation about the Presentation Guild, which is something we as presentation industry people, well, we can finally say we have a professional association to be a part of and represent us. Sandy Johnson of the Presentation Whiz, regular co-host here at the Presentation Podcast, is also vice president of the Presentation Guild. We also have on this episode Echo Swinford of Echo's Voice and the president of the Presentation Guild.
Well, I want to extend a heartfelt welcome to my friend and colleague, Echo Swinford. It's just really great to work with you and to have you here to talk about something that is near and dear to our hearts, the Presentation Guild. So before we get into the discussion about the guild, though, I would love for you to talk to the audience about yourself. I know you hate doing that, but tell us a little bit about Swinford.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I should say that I feel very welcome. You guys have both welcomed me thoroughly. So thank you for letting me be here. I started in the presentations industry about 20 years ago, seriously, 1997. And I was working at a medical education company, and we were doing a big symposia and a couple of them. And the owner was concerned about outsourcing the slide work. She was concerned that the vendor, she wasn't sure about the quality and, you know, all of that. So I basically convinced her to let me do her slides. I was like, you know, I have good quality. You should let me do this. And she came back a couple days later and said, yeah, okay, do this. And then I had to learn how to use PowerPoint. I had no idea. I'm like, what have I done? So I was, you know, I was the only one and I had to figure it out. So I hit a wall really quickly. I mean, I learned quickly and I hit a wall. And so I went out on the news groups. This was in the day of Deja News. So, you know, those of you out there who are around my age, you probably remember Deja News, the early days of the internet. So I found the PowerPoint news group and I started reading religiously every day. And eventually I started answering questions. And then, you know, Microsoft made me an MVP for helping in the community and for my contributions there. And then fast forward a few years later, and I wrote a couple PowerPoint books, and I went out on my own, and, you know, here we are today. A couple years ago, I started the Presentation Guild.
And that is the shortest history of the longest amount of work I've ever heard. That's awesome.
Are you kidding?
There's a lot that happened in those, because I jumped in shortly after that, and I was actually taking a lot of my cues from your answers.
Exactly.
Really?
When I hit the wall. Oh, yeah.
On the news groups, I learned so much, you know, going in there and studying what you had to say. And I don't know.
Yeah, really the internet was simpler back in the, let's just say, the early 2000s or pre. Mm-hmm. And you could, I mean, the fact that PowerPoint actually had a news group dedicated to it kind of showed the power of that program, because there was a lot of software that I used back then. They didn't have a news group. It was, you know, it was frowned upon. So it was definitely a great community. And I think that's kind of what the guild is all about, is the community that's still there. But the internet's now fractured. I mean, you can find information on your website, on the Presentation Guild website, on Sandy's website. There's not that central point of conversation as much anymore. And there's a lot of fractured conversations. But hey, tell us about the guild in particular. Tell us, you know, kind of how the guild got its start. Yeah, just let's start there. How did the guild start?
Well, you know, I think part of it is kind of what you're talking about with the whole community thing and Deja News and the old news groups that weren't fractured and no one central point and all of that. And, you know, this is not a new idea. The MVPs have talked about, you know, we need an association. We've talked about starting something like that for a gazillion years, but we never just actually sat down and made it happen. And, you know, a couple of years ago, a couple of people, Marsh Maxstein and Charles Cranford, both approached me within about a 6-month period with some things that they wanted to do that were really perfect for association type thing. And I was like, you know what? It's time. We really need to do this. So, you know, that was kind of boiling and, you know, percolating in the back of my head, not exactly boiling. You know, my head does occasionally blow up, but you know, not always. So this idea was percolating. And I think the real catalyst, though, was I think I had to reinstall Photoshop or some Adobe product of some sort. And there was a question when you register it and you set it back up, it asks you what you do for a living. And I'm looking through this list of practically every type of design you can imagine. I mean, there's, I don't know, lighting design, billboard design, I mean, crazy stuff, everything except presentation design. And I was so frustrated. And I was like, you know what? We have got to change this. I'm over this. We're going to make this happen. So that was it. That's how it started.
I actually haven't heard that story.
Really? That's, oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I got on the phone. I called some of those MVPs who had said Sandy was probably the first one I called, Steve Rinsberg. You know, I called him and I said, we're going to do this. Are you on board? And they all said yes. I'm like, oh, my God.
So speaking of that, who expand on that? Who was or is the startup team? Because the Presentation Guild's still, I'd say it's established, but it's still the same core team running everything at this stage. So who was the startup team that you kind of gathered together?
Well, it's definitely a core startup team still, and I think we will be until we can get enough members that we can actually, you know, hire a little bit of staff. So we're working. So our team, Sandy is vice president, of course, and she's amazing, best vice president, best teammate ever. So go, Shucks. Sandy! Yay! Thank you. Yay. I'm so grateful. Absolutely. Couldn't do it without her. Seriously, mm-hmm. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. Steve Rinsberg, he's been amazing too. He was probably he and Sandy were the ones I called because they've been talking about it with us for years. And Glenna Shaw, same thing. And then I asked Charles and Marsh to be a part of it because they were part of that impetus. So that's how we got the ball rolling, and we started incorporating and working on that. And then we almost immediately then brought in Steffi Lewis and Tony Ramos. And
both incredible options to have on any team.
You know, it's so funny because Tony we knew was amazing. I mean, he was a former MVP, and he's kind of been in that circle for a long time. So we knew he was amazing and the stuff he does with social media, and we needed his advice and assistance and all of that. And he came in with so many great ideas. But Steffi was such a surprise. We contacted her about helping with the website, and she was just, it was like, oh my God, we need this girl. We need her to be a board member. We need her to give us advice. We need her ideas and her energy. She's amazing. So they
she
both
was newer,
were just,
newer to the group. That's by being surprised. Yeah. It's just because we didn't know her as well as our other colleagues. And exactly. Man, she's part of the team. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody wants to experience energy, just friend Steffi Lewis on Facebook. Energy exudes.
Anyway, yeah. So that was the core team. And then, you know, not very much later, we brought on Rick Bretschneider and Gitesh Bajaj, and they came on board. And then Julie Turberg came on board as art director, and Rick Altman also agreed to be part of our board.
But so don't forget about the Hard Rockers, Troy. Mm-hmm. The Hard Rockers, as we call them, because our first meeting, we weren't officially launched. We brought together a core group of power hitters in the industry. We were at the presentation summit and we met at the Hard Rock Cafe in New Orleans, hence the name Hard Rockers. And like I said, this is a core group of inaugural members from whom we sought advice for building the organization. For example, Troy.
You know, I will say I am proud to have been asked my opinion on several pre-guild discussions. And even more excited that I can say I was a part. And that was not a small meeting. We took over the entire, like the Hard Rock had to, like, basically they opened up their banquets room and just said, please go in there and get away from you're taking over too much of the restaurant. I mean, it was a big deal. So it was, we were in New Orleans at the Hard Rock Cafe right there on Bourbon Street. And it was a great, great, it was a great start to things. I mean, things were, it was at that point, it was real. It really was. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was a good meeting. I remember there were 25 or 30 of us, I think.
Yeah.
And at this point, the board, I mean, I know this is all on the website and stuff, but name off some of it, because this is not a, hey, let's do this mom and pop thing. This is an industry mainstay element. Like, name some of the names on the board that instantly said yes.
Well, so the board members were, you know, like Sandy and Steve Rinsberg, but we also have, you know, our advisors, our advisory board. I called Nancy Duarte and said, Nancy, we're going to do it. And she said, oh, thank God, I can knock that off my list. So you have my full support. I'm so happy. And, you know, Cliff Atkinson was similar, Jerry Weissman, Gar Reynolds, and they've been really instrumental in giving us a lot of their thoughts and advice and things. So we've got, you know, we've got them behind us. And then, you know, hard rockers like you, like, you know, we've got people like you and Nolan to turn to
and Lori.
Taylor Kuhnquist and Camille and Lori. Your wife is amazing, mm-hmm, Troy. Mm-hmm. Your wife is incredible.
Well, thank you. So, I agree.
You know that.
You should. But yeah. No, she put together contest stuff for us. I'm hoping that we can start those back up again. I like having those little contests and things, but she's done some really great stuff. We have a lot of people who are working behind the scenes to help things happen. And it's not just us, but yeah, there's a lot of work and it's all volunteer.
So let's talk about what we do. You talked about how frustrated you were with the lack of credibility with what we do, not being listed on what are those called, surveys, or I can't remember what they're called, but talk about what our mission and vision is. I mean, we know that this is a setup, obviously, but you know, let's talk about what the Guild hopes to accomplish by reaching these goals.
Well, you know, I think the main goal with setting this up, this kind of goes back to that whole setting up Photoshop and what do you do for a living and where do I put presentation design. The real goal is to legitimize our industry, and I think that the way we do that is by making people aware that presentation professionals actually exist. I think people don't actually realize that.
You know, I've been on so many calls, new business calls, where people will say, I didn't know people like you existed. So they're, you know, they're like us, right? Somebody has to do it. But so the Guild, as Troy mentioned, advocates for our members. And we've talked about this before, but we don't get no respect.
That's changing. I mean, it's good. Yeah. And, you know, so I guess I never really took it to the level of frustration that you have, Echo, because, you know, we're a multidisciplinary design studio and we started in traditional graphic design. So it always came down to, hey, what do you do? I would scan through the list and it's still there. And we have to actually talk about how you've made a little charge and got one of the major online lists changed recently. But it's kind of interesting that I always just put, you know, graphic design. It was always this questionable. It was like the longest term. It was the longest pause on any of those things. Like, what do you do? Trying to find something. And you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. It's an industry, it's a profession, and it's not recognized the way it should be. And I get those same conversations all the time, Sandy. I think we all do. Really? Yeah. There's people that just specialize. I mean, I get from, you know, family and friends still. What do you do again?
My mother-in-law says, I still don't know what you do.
My mom says the same thing. I want my mom to know what I do. It's kind of hard.
So let me know if this actually has happened, because I know it's in process. And there was this email that went around. I know it was a blanket email to a lot of people, because there's another career list on LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn Pro Finder, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was a great email. I'm like, hey, you're right. Presentation design isn't an option within this. You always got to kind of pick a subcategory. So I know you put out this whole petition directly to LinkedIn with all these people saying this is what we need. Is that actually something they're considering, or has it happened?
Well, I think it's at least working its way to the right people. One of our members, Tom Howell, actually was having a meeting with someone at LinkedIn, I believe, for a different reason, and he helped bring it to their attention. And so we put some information in front of them, and I think it's working its way through. So we'll be following up, and I think our goal is to have presentation design at a top level, just like graphic design, or at least at a high level, so that it's very obvious, because right now you can't find presentation design on there. You could find graphic designers.
Yeah,
but graphic designers and presentation designers are different. And graphic designers, you guys have had this conversation, you know, don't get no respect. Where the Rodney Dangerfield did it. Oh, PowerPoint. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, dude? Because I'm employed and you're not.
So with LinkedIn, when somebody sees presentation design, you know exactly who to thank, or the organization that kind of represented us there. That's for certain.
We'll keep trying.
You know what? Before we get into all the great stuff, I just wanted to mentioned that this organization, the Presentation Guild, is open to anyone who works in the presentation industry, from designers to graphics op to speaking coaches. We are striving to legitimize every single one of those roles.
You know, actually, I had a great conversation that I haven't told the two of you about. I was on a show recently, and the technical director, who is very, very knowledgeable of presentation design and design capability, or I should say presentation capabilities, both keynote, PowerPoint, he works with them all. He actually came to me and said, hey, on this thing, can I be a member? Am I considered industry? Awesome. And I was like, yeah, you know, there's a job board and if nothing else. And he's like, well, he's like, I'd just like to know who's out there and kind of be able to get more in touch, you know, stay in touch with what's happening in the trends so that I can predict my, you know, my future show requests, this and that. And I thought that was a really cool, that just happened, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago.
I love that. Because, yeah, I mean, we have a job board. He could post if he needs a graphics op for a thing. He could totally post that. Yeah.
Presentation industry is a big thing. It really is. That got me thinking about it. So how much does it, what's the fees? What does it cost somebody to belong? Because as example, hold on, let me put this in perspective. As the owner of a design agency, there's another organization that we're considering. It's come very highly recommended. I've done a lot of research and we're very excited about it, but it's for agency owners only. So I'll just leave it at that. It's a great peer network type of thing. But based on that is they say you should probably budget between $7,000 and $9,000 a year, because there's a couple of meetings, which is the real reason I'm going. There's the annual dues. There's some access elements, mm-hmm. some resources. So let's put this in perspective. That's what I'm considering at a professional level, I would say. And this one, the Absolute Core Presentation Industry Association, if somebody wants to become a member, which I highly endorse, what do they expect annually?
$99.
You make it sound like it's. I just want to put in perspective how good a deal it is.
It's a great deal. It's a great deal.
$99 a year. I mean, we're a startup. We're brand new. We have a lot of benefits and we have a lot of things to offer. A lot of really good networking opportunities, things like that. And we are membership dues driven. So, you know, all of the dues go right back into it, and that helps pay for things like, you know, web access for webinars and the website and, you know, that. So our expenses are really low because we don't have staff. Maybe someday we can, but it's $99 a year. And I think it's a bargain. I think you get a lot.
I think it's an absolute bargain, especially if you just go on to the live webcasts that we've done. I mean, those are industry.
Webinars.
The webinars are, I mean, most of those are only to members and they are amazing content. Now I've actually been asked to help with a few of them and I was very excited. But you know, if you're an independent and you just need a legal contract, $99 would be a deal, because when I started I was spending, you know, $300-$500 on several different places just to get skeleton contracts to work from, and $99 mm-hmm. gets you a full one there.
So here's the deal, and Echo touched on this a little bit. We are a volunteer, member-driven organization, and Echo, the reason all the work gets done, or how the work all gets done, is by, I'll let it's you by. Finish that sentence, it's by, who it's gets by. The work done?
At this point, the board of directors and some of our volunteers and some of our hard rockers and some of our other members and volunteers, that's who does the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, it's not your typical board of directors. I would call us a working board because we can't afford staff. So we all mm-hmm. spend a large chunk of our lives doing guild stuff. I know Sandy puts in an amazing amount of time. Jen Parkinson helps me get the newsletter out every 2 weeks. She's been just, oh my God, phenomenal. Couldn't do it without her. I mean, just stuff
like that. Tony works tirelessly at social media. You know,
and
why we can charge $99.
Right. And Julie putting together the Inspired by Designs every month. Mm-hmm.
Those are awesome.
A huge chunk mm-hmm. of time. Those I love those.
Amazing. Yeah. Julie's amazing on that. So I will just say this, that, I mean, obviously there's a very large pool of people that belong within the guild walls. So the low price point is kind of relative to the fact that I think there's thousands and thousands of people that should be an ongoing members of this, but it's not stuff that we're not already doing. So I have a great example. A couple of weeks ago, our TLC Creative website went down. It turns out to be a PHP coding issue with the WordPress and this and that. And I didn't know about it, but when I woke up, I had no less than a dozen emails of people not only saying, hey, your website's down, which was kind of cool, like, hey, people look at it. But I had a few people actually go out of the way and say, hey, I actually looked into it. And here's the, you know, based on it, because it was basically giving an error code, a PHP error code. I had people actually emailing me, here's the problem and here's the potential fixes for it so you can get this content back up on online.
Oh, my goodness.
The presentation community is very passionate. Mm-hmm. We're always doing things. I started my blog now, oh, my gosh, 11 years ago. I think I'm in my 10th year.
Wow. You know,
it's just a, and it's actually kind of suffered lately just because we've gone through so much growth and I just can't keep up everything right now. But that aside, we're passionate about things. You know, Tony actually started the whole thing by putting out the very first blog posts on PowerPoint, the news group, probably one of the more active news groups in all of Microsoft land. You know, it just makes sense that so much can get done at a professional level in the guild because everybody's so, well, first of all, personal and nice, but entrenched in our industry and helpful to one another. We're a helpful community compared to other things I work with. And I think it rolls over.
I tell people that it's more cooperative than competitive.
Absolutely.
And I know that there is some competition there, but it really is a cooperative thing. And I would love to see that continue. And I think it's very welcoming too. It's not like you have to do presentations full time, and you don't have to do presentations full time to be a member. There are a lot of people out there who do, you know, a couple presentations for their boss, or they help their colleagues with stuff, or they're just kind of the go-to person in the office. But it's really about learning the craft and the storytelling and all of the different tools and stuff, very specific to, you know, slideware tools, Prezi, PowerPoint, Keynote, whatever you're using, Haiku Deck, you know, you could be using anything, but there's still some commonalities there and we can all learn. And that's really the point. So you don't even have to be a professional. We're not saying that our organization's for professionals only. You know, we like anybody. As long as you're working in presentations and you know, and you want to learn, then hey, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's, I think you mentioned less competitive, more cooperative. I get the sense that everyone is in it. The majority are in it to elevate the industry. We all want to gain that respect. And so that's why it is so cooperative. I recently put out a request for, we're starting a membership committee at the Guild. And mm-hmm. I have 10, I can't remember, is it 10 or 11 people who have volunteered? We've got our first meeting on Monday. I'm just thrilled at the interest level. That's just great.
Yeah. And what are you kind of focusing on with that?
The membership committee? Well, we're the plan to maintain membership and to build membership. So what can we, you know, let's make sure that our current members are delighted with what we provide. Right. And let's make sure that the rest of the world knows we exist and we are so intrigued.
Outreach program.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, let me ask this. Hold on. I'm going to put you both on the spot. I'm going to ask the question because I think others out there will want to know. It's a smaller group, and I know it's not currently available, but is there a – so this is where I was going with this. I thought you were going to reveal something that I was kind of excited about. Oh. Is there a company, you know, / agency membership option in the works instead of individuals? So I could offer it up to, like, my whole design team. We as a company pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that we've done so far, one of the things we've done recently, I should say, is we recently swapped our website over to a different server. And I can't even tell you. So huge props to Steffi because she spearheaded that and made it happen. Not even spearhead. She just did it. And it actually, you know, the site, we were struggling with it because it would be really slow. It was kind of painful to use. And we were totally aware of it. Anybody who's been on there, and we were just as frustrated as you were. But you would click on it and it would take a long time for things to happen. Well, now it doesn't. Things happen quickly. They, you know, anyway, it works like a website should. And I'm not pivoting. I'm actually leading up to saying that part of that was we were able to upgrade our add-ins and some of our back-end processes so that we can actually do corporate members. So we can have parent-child type memberships now.
Oh, awesome.
So we should be able to offer, we should have those up and running fairly shortly. So yes, we're looking forward to that because we know that, because Sandy did this huge survey, know that.
Don't forget about the salary survey.
yeah. So what is it? We have big corporations, independents, and some smaller agencies sprinkled. Is that right?
And lots of freelancers,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So being able to offer a corporate option is, we like that. That's where I was going.
I would like that. I mean, I know a number of companies that would like that. So let me go to the high level based on what you just said there, Sandy. Based on what Sandy just said, let me back us back out there and say, what do you feel the Guild has accomplished so far? I mean, outside you established, you launched, you have a pretty substantial membership base. You have a lot of, you have, the website has actually probably grown way beyond expectations in content and functionality for the first year. But, what's the big picture? What do you see as the big overall accomplishments?
Well, yeah. Okay. So first one is, like you just said, we incorporated and we got established as an official not-for-profit, which was, huge.
Well, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This isn't just a group. This is an actual entity.
Yeah.
That
it's real.
Doesn't make money.
Yeah. It's a nonprofit. Right. I caught that part too. I'll acknowledge it's a nonprofit entity, mm-hmm. which is good for us as the industry. It means there's no, there's no special interest.
Commercial interest.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. The agenda is to elevate the industry, not one software product or, one company or anything like that. It's just really about presentationists in the industry. But that's huge. And I'm excited because we've just passed 200 members. I'm so psyched. Wow. I know. And, I'll confess that we thought it would be a lot bigger right off the bat. So it's been a lot of work. But 200, I'll take it, man. I'm excited.
Okay. Not bad for less than a year in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, other big things?
So lately we've been working on benefits and resources for the members. We have discussion forums. You've been on there. We talked about the job board. We've put that up. That's been probably the newest benefit so that people can actually post and apply for, jobs and or, one-off gigs. I think that those could go on there. So we've been working on that lately. Sandy talked about membership and...
I mentioned the salary survey also.
Yeah, this is a big one. This one's cool.
Huge. And we just gained so many insights from it. And just to quote a couple, we learned that in the industry out there, it's probably split between presentation professionals who work at large corporations of 100 or more and freelancers or consultants like what we're doing. We also learned that those people who do what we do are getting older, but we have a good income. And I guess one of the insights that I would say comes out of that is there's a huge opportunity for young people to get into this business and to have a pretty good income.
Well, have a good career.
I prefer established. Yeah, not
yes,
yeah,
so established. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I knew there would be a better way to say that.
We're getting established.
We have been in the business for a long time, Echo. You said 97. I started in 2001. It's been a long time.
You're right. And then, like Julie and Steve were around in the age of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, there you go.
They both have way more time, but yeah. No, that salary survey, that was really a huge undertaking. And so, Sandy, thank you for pulling that together. Because I kind of wanted to hold off a year. And she said, no, I think we need to start and go out there and find this information out. We'll build on it.
Establish a benchmark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the term you use, Sandy, for me, is this was our benchmark year. And it'll be great to comparison all the future ones. Is that like a... spring, fall, like when's the
fall? October, fall end of the year, it comes out. We try to report it by January 1.
Okay. Yeah, it's really cool. As a matter of fact, how can people get their hands on the survey? Because I know this is the benchmark one, but I was actually really, it was very insightful just to see kind of a snapshot of our industry. So if people want to get their hands on it, how do they do so?
Well, it's free to members. Membership is only $99. This is awful. I can't remember. If you're not a member, it might be $59 or $69. So you can do the math there and figure
out.
Just become a member. Exactly. Yeah. So it's out there. It's still available. It's got last year's data, but it's good benchmark information.
And we'll announce in the newsletter when the next survey is ready for people to participate in. So you can keep an eye on
it. It was done really well. Good stuff.
You know, we're really lucky. Our board is, we're multi-talented. So Sandy spearheaded that. And Glenna Shaw who does the analysis. I mean, that's what she does in her day job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have an analyst basically. And then Julie made it look amazing and beautiful. Yes. And so there's just so much going for it. I love it.
So speaking of Julie, we offer webinars. Troy and Nolan both have played a large role in hosting these monthly events. Echo,
But Julie does this 20-minute webinar every month, and it's called Inspired by Design, and it's actually one of the things we found out from our most recent survey, which was not the salary survey, but it's actually one of the top-rated benefits, and it is for members only. There are 4 complete sessions up on YouTube that you can watch, but the rest of them, I think we're on our 11th or 12th episode so far, and gosh, that's been a year that we've been doing that. Wow. That just dawned on me. I know, right? But they're so great. People really like, because it's 20 minutes. You sit down, you have coffee with Julie and Nolan. Nolan hosts it, and it's like just sitting there listening to a conversation. And, you know, Julie's telling us about what's inspiring her and what you can think about and how you can translate the world around you into your presentations and different things to consider with color and, you know, all kinds of stuff that, you know, design oriented things. So everything's always really beautiful and it's just interesting. And it's one of my favorite things. So, yeah.
Or you could spend $1,000 and go to the presentation summit and get the opportunity to see Julie. Or she could just show up every month as well through
membership.
It's awesome. There
you go. Yep. Exactly.
Someone, you know, that's funny because someone describes the Presentation Guild as, and we need to clarify this, but the Presentation Guild is like the presentation summit, but you get it every day.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's actually cover this because I know... Let's talk about the presentation summit because it's a confusing topic because the guild was launched at a presentation summit event. I know that most of the board members and a lot of the core people are also at the presentation summit, either attending or involved. So I think there's, from my perspective, and now I'm outside, I think there's a perception problem with people separating or understanding the two are separate. Yeah. So you two can talk about that.
Well, valid point of concern. And it is a concern for us. And it is hard to distinguish because, so number one, we all have the word presentation in our stuff, right? Presentation podcast, presentation whiz, presentation summit, presentation guild, prezo. I don't like the word prezo, so that's not going to work. So I think you're right. A lot of the confusion does become because many of I think a lot of the confusion does have to do with the fact that many of the guild board members, you know, helped establish the presentation summit and have been speaking at presentation summit since day one. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite honestly. So do you know the story of how presentation summit conference started?
Now, I do. And actually, it's funny. I was just with Kathy Jacobs last month or so. We talked about that.
Yeah. So, let's tell the audience. So, you know, back in those days of Deja News when we had that PowerPoint community news group, and it really was a community. And we were talking, Thanksgiving, I think, was coming up. And Kathy said, somebody said we should have a barbecue. And Kathy was like, oh, I'll host a party in my backyard. She was totally serious. Well, anybody, you know, I'll do outdoor cooking and I'll do food out in the backyard and we can all meet here. And
it's like a high school party. I'll invite a few friends over. Next thing you know, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
There's people showing up.
Well, people started saying that in the group. I'll come. I'd be there. I'd come. And we were laughing about it, but we were like, this is kind of weird. We probably really need to think about really doing a conference. Well, you know, we kicked around the idea. It's kind of like the guild. Can we do this? Can we start this?
Wait, how many people do you think showed up that first year, that first party?
Yeah. Well, mini. That it wasn't actually. So what we did was
it morphed.
It did. So it wasn't actually just a party. So what happened was we were like, we should probably really think about setting up a conference, a backyard party. Didn't do the backyard party. So a bunch of us, Kathy, Steve, me, I can't even remember who all, Sonia, she was there at the time. Gitesh might've been, I can't remember.
Brian.
I think Brian was.
He was alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was part, yeah. I mean, just so many of these people near and dear to my heart. So we met with Rick Altman. Steve Rinsberg had been working with Rick Altman at like Corel World or Corel Draw, something. He had been doing this Corel conference. And he was looking for another conference type. So we said, you need to do this presentation conference. You should do a PowerPoint conference. And it took him a little while to come around. And we told him we thought it would work. And so he booked space in Tucson the first year at a small hotel. And I think there were, to see if it was viable. And I think it was a 1 or 2 day conference. It was maybe 2 days. It was smaller.
Yeah,
and
was I think it we maybe 2 days?
Yeah, it was. Was it over a weekend? I don't even remember that. I just know that there were 1 or 2 tracks. And I know that I spoke so many times, I was exhausted and I was hoarse. I couldn't talk for a week after. And oh my God, we worked our butts off and it was so much fun.
Fun.
And it's been so going Sandy, ever since. That was 2003.
I was actually there. I think I've told this story before. But
yeah, we have a picture.
I drove, Lori, I and my girls were very little back then. I said, hun, and you know, I'm at resorts pretty much all year round, even at that point. So I was like, hey, hon, let's head out to Tucson. You and the girls can hang out at the pool and enjoy another nice weekend. That's why I know it was a weekend-ish thing, because it was like a weekend getaway for us as a family. And I was like, I really don't know how many people or how much I'm going to learn, but I just want to go meet all these developer guys.
You should have
in
done
addition,
that. Yeah.
And this was my line, I've told everybody, I just want to go and figure out how to pronounce this guy's name. It's S-H-Y-A-M. And I talk to him through email all the time, and I don't know how to pronounce Shyam's name. So it says he's going to be there. So I'll go there to meet this other guy in charge of PP Tools, which was Steve Rinsberg. Literally, the only reason I went was to meet, I didn't know Steve anything about Shyam. The MVP program. I didn't know anything about most of the attendees. I just knew that those two people were going to be there and they were on my, I should connect with them because I make use of their tools so heavily as we're growing this business. So that's why I went and it was great. And I am giving huge kudos to Kathy and Bruce because they did actually host the barbecue, if you will. They did.
Yeah, I remember. We all pitched in. Do you remember?
Dutch oven dessert things.
God, that brewery was the best. Those were the best brownies ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen like 25 Dutch ovens going at the same time. So, you know,
that's crazy.
Fruit cobblers and brownies. And
that was the only summit I have not attended.
Oh,
I knew about it. I was so new in the business. Yes. I should have jumped right on it, but I didn't, because it was the first year of the conference. I didn't know how real it was. So I
well,
just
let's fast forward. Let's fast forward. I mean, that event went off great. It went fantastic.
And I was there next year.
Most everybody that I still work, you know, we still associate with everybody so closely. But so it's its own entity and it's grown and it's got a life cycle that is established and great.
Yeah.
But again, it's community. The same core people saw that the bigger community, because the presentation summit tops out at, I don't know, 300-400 people.
200.
Oh, okay. It's small. And that's by design.
Because the help center, that was the other thing. That help center was the best thing ever. And people were just like, oh my gosh.
It was like a face-to-face forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, that's always been like one of the best things about it. But you have to keep it small in order to have that kind of.
To be built.
So anyway, it is small by design, like you said. So
out of that, it kind of makes sense. The presentation summit became very established and it's a great mainstay. And the presentation guild would be an outgrowth of pretty much the same group of people. So I see people they don't see the separation because it's the same people for the most part, but it is very different. They are very, very separate. Yeah. They are run. I mean, one is you guys are a nonprofit entity. Mm-hmm. The Presentation Guild is obviously an enterprise
you have that. Wait, no, the Presentation Guild is a nonprofit entity. The Presentation Summit is commercial.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Perfect.
But it's a lot of it's this overlap, but they are very, very separate. And I think that's a confusion point. And it even gets, do you want to mention your promo for this year's Presentation Summit? Because I actually think you're creating the confusion of being tied together more.
I know.
But it's a good option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we, so as part of the Presentation Guild, we have been, I mean, we did sponsor, we were a sponsor at the Presentation Summit last year. I mean, it's all that whole cooperative stuff. So we're working together to help elevate the industry. So we are a sponsor at the summit. This year, we're going to sponsor the t-shirt.
Oh, really?
And yeah, oh, we're doing the cool. t-shirt. Yeah. And we're, you know, honestly, we're still figuring out what else we're doing. Last year, we did what, like Pokemon card exchange or something.
Those were really, really well done. Those were really cool.
It was fun.
They were really, it was fun. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do this year, but we'll do something. We'll do something.
Well, but and I should add, and to keep the confusion going.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes, for the first 100 registrants of the Presentation Summit, those first 100 registrants will get a free guild membership. So, you know, we are partnering, but we are two complete separate organizations.
That's a good way to phrase it. You're partners because it's a mm-hmm. small industry. Of yes. people and work, you know, anyways, I just wanted to draw out the point that there is some confusion when you talk yeah. to one, you're not talking to the other, even though the people involved could be in both. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what else? Let's just kind of come up with I'm going to give you the chance to just say, what else is coming down the road? I mean, where are you guys looking for the presentation? Anything you can talk about? I know there's probably a lot of plans you can't talk about because they're not evolved enough or... I mean, it's not like a competition thing, but, you know, tell us, is there anything in the works that we can look forward to?
You know, you know, we're going to have the salary survey that we've been talking about. That'll start up again. The survey participation will start up again in October, but our next big push is going to be certifications. We need to have some kind of certification. There really isn't anything for presentation certification. You don't have any way to validate that you have skills. And so we expect to have some kind of certification available next year. That's the goal. It'll be a beginning.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so psyched and I'm so scared. And it'll be a beginning. It's not going to be perfect. We're going to have to keep working toward it. But we have to start somewhere.
Is this like resume type of things? Like, hey, I've achieved, you know, our IT person's going through and getting their Python certification right now. And I know it's a big push and it's very exciting. You know, so it's, you know, and it's going to basically go on her title as, you know, I'm certifying this. Is that
exactly? Where
I'm just kind
of- yeah, it's a similar thing. And so we'll have some, I mean, there's going to be experience and or education and or a combination of both, like requirements mm-hmm. that you have to document. And we'd like to see, you know, that you document your continuing education every year that you've attended. If attended Inspired by Design, or you've gone to Presentation Summit, or you've taught a course, you've taught a lunch and learn to your colleagues, or that kind of thing, as well as an assessment type with some testing and things. So we're still working out the details.
Huge industry solidification and absolutely. Recognition right there. Absolutely. That is going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're working for.
Sandy, yeah, I know you're working thing. On like a million things probably.
Well, you know, benefits, other benefits. When we talk about the certification, that's elevating, supporting our individuals, it's elevating the industry. We also provide benefits. We're in the process of developing an affinity program. It's not your typical affinity program. We're not giving insurance discounts to our members. We're providing relevant products at a discount. Our members will have access to things like discounted benefits like add-ins, PowerPoint add-ins, software discounts, equipment discounts. So just stuff that is relevant to what the work they do every single day.
Just to clarify, an affinity program, just make sure I get, because this you're talking about basically an affinity program is like a business partnership where two companies agree to offer special rates or services.
Yes, and that might not be the ultimate name we give it. I'm just using that as a generic description for what we're working on right now.
I don't know. You know, Pixar's ruined it. Anytime he says in an affinity program, I just picture Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond.
Well, that, yes,
okay,
that.
Infinity, affinity, come on.
Affinity and beyond. I love it. You know what? That's going to be the headline on that page. I'm going to make sure.
Affinity and beyond. I love it. Yeah, we'll put a little Buzz Lightyear on there.
Echo, give us a, could you say a goal? What are you envisioning as the solid where you've hit a threshold for membership? I actually thought it was 500 plus right away. So 200 is established and great. But what's the number you're looking at? 5, 200, 5,000, 100,000?
You know, I think that honestly, I think once we get established, and I think that as we start bringing awareness, I think that it will only grow. I would like to see us kind of level off at least for in the near term at like 500. I think that's a good reachable goal. Okay. And then I just want to see it grow from there. I want it to be solid and established and able to have at least one or two staff members so that we can really bring good benefits and consistent things to the users, and that we can spend some time on the PR and promoting awareness, you know, everywhere, outreach, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I personally think that's highly, I thought it should have already been achieved. So those numbers seem very conservative, just like your outlook on most everything is I'll make sure it happens. I think it's great. Hey, I'd like to thank both of you for the time. I know we heard some sirens in the background, and I know that when we first started recording, I heard an echo and I couldn't, okay, that was the wrong word to use. I could hear a repeat of words. And I asked
what's going on, Andy,
what's up with your microphone? So tell us really quick, where are you, Echo? Cause you're not home in safe Indiana. Cause we heard sirens going in the background.
Yeah, well, you know, Indianapolis is getting a bad rap lately. But no, I'm actually in Chicago at the Hampton Inn.
And Sandy, where are you today?
I'm in Chicago at the Hampton Inn.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, it gets better. They actually went to go and see another colleague of ours. I didn't know nothing about this, and I couldn't.
Dave Parody.
Their microphones were picking up each other. So Sandy, no, Echo, where are you physically sitting in the hotel?
I am sitting right here by the sliding glass door.
Of the hotel room?
Of the hotel room, yeah. Of the hotel room that Sandy and I shared.
And Sandy, where are you physically sitting?
I'm sitting in the hotel room bathroom with the door closed.
I thank you two so much. This is an all-out effort. Well, thank you, both of you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this conversation. It's been there's a lot of wisdom put in there. There's a lot of the future of our industry kind of being laid out right now in this conversation. The Presentation Guild is a phenomenal extension and kind of a not a certification. What's the word I want to use here? It's a very establishing feature of our industry. So Echo, thank you for your efforts in getting this started and everybody else that's involved and making sure that it comes to fruition. And I'm very excited about the future and just seeing those affinity programs grow and the benefits and everything else. So, hey, thanks for joining us today. We've got some fun. Echo doesn't know it yet, but we're going to throw her on the spot with a little bit of our end pieces here. So we'll jump into those. Hey, so Echo, what we do is every episode we have some fun stuff. We're not going to do the Q&A corner part for this episode. That's mainly because I'm not prepared. So Sandy, I don't think you are. But the other one we do, and this is kind of my, because I love gadget talk. I mean, I it's just good stuff. So we created this little segment called Pro and Tech Tips. So we each throw out one really cool thing that we're working with, and it's just, it could be about PowerPoint specific. It could be about any application. It could be about Keynote, an add-in you use, or a special little tip or trick. It can be about a gadget or a software you use. We've covered it all. So think about, I'll go first, then I'll let Sandy talk about one, and then you get to throw out something that's just kind of novel and interesting, and it's one of those, you know, gadgety talks we always have. So, okay, so I got mine. So I mentioned using an iPad as my second monitor when traveling now. I used to carry a large USB-based one, but since I found that I could actually do a wired connection to my iPad using an app called Duet, so it's not a Wi-Fi enabled screen extension. It works great. It works on Windows and Mac, and I use it all the time now. But I have added to my setup with a great little folding mobile device stand. It's by this company, Passanomi. You know, it's very solid metal. It's got two hinges, so it folds flat. It takes up little room in my tech kit, maybe a little bit heavier than I should have, but it holds my iPad mini at any angle, and it raises it up so it's more aligned with my laptop monitor. So they're kind of, you know, in alignment as far as height goes. And then there's also this nice little gap underneath it. So I set my phone there because, you know, everything needs a home in my mobile work environment, because usually backstage where it's fairly dark and I like to kind of know where things are. I will put a link to it. It was under $20, but it's just kind of made my life a lot easier while on the road. And I've just been using it. So that's my little tech tip, is I got this little cool little stand that elevates my iPad up just a little bit higher, gives me a little bit more space. Cables run underneath it real easily. And it's part of the way I use an extended desktop for my work environment mobile.
Very cool. I'm not as prepared as you are for this, this segment. I truly wanted to talk about this great remote control that I ordered and received. It's for PowerPoint use, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it. This is awful, but it's this sleek remote control that allows me to zoom in on my slides. It allows me to, it's kind of like the gyro technology where I can actually click on a hyperlink on the slide. I don't have to be at my computer. It's an awesome tool for presenters.
Well, it's wireless, right?
It's wireless.
But so you actually have mouse control with the remote. It's not just a forward back button.
Right, right, exactly.
Oh, that's
it's
nice. Just,
if it's really small.
Very, very nice. Cool. Now, here's the downside. It has to be loaded on every single computer to have all of it.
You need the drivers.
Yeah, you need the drivers. So, for example, if I want one of my keynote presenters to use it, I'll have to make sure that on a production environment that the software is loaded so that they have that option. But it's a beautiful piece of equipment. I love the capability, and I'll make sure that the link is added to the notes.
See, Sandy gets new gadgets too. We'll add a link. I want to see it. Obviously, I have dozens of options. I'd love to see what that one is. And we'll give it a name in the show notes. Everybody can go look for the link and the name of it. Absolutely.
There you go. So I am I'm thinking about your setup, Troy, because do you remember a few years ago at the MVP summit? Here's another summit when we were in Seattle, and you whipped out that travel monitor, and I went. Yeah. And I went and bought one and had it waiting for me when I got home. I love that thing. I've been using it forever, but I've been kind of kicking around doing the iPad as the second monitor since you've been talking about it, because it would be easier because I travel with that anyway, and that would be easier. So I'm liking this stand. I'm going to have to take a look and see if I can set that up, because having that second monitor for your remote workspace is really, really helpful.
It is.
That's one of the worst things about working remotely. But I will say that... So when I knew that we were going to do this podcast, and last week when I realized that Dave Parody was going to be here in Chicago, and we were like, oh, we should just all meet. I'll come up. And I was like, oh, podcast. So I hopped on Amazon Prime and ordered a blue raspberry. It's a little portable microphone. It's so cute. I opened it up today, plugged it in, and boom, on my way. It was plug and play, and it's I think sounds great. I'm so excited.
Oh,
I might just use
fantastic.
This at home. I might use this at home instead of the big, the Blue Yeti or whatever, the big boom mic thing on the arm. I might just use this little portable thing. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm looking at this blue. Is it like a little red base on the it's blue raspberry, but it's red?
Blue raspberry. Yeah, exactly. It's cute, isn't it?
Wait, there's nothing to give a when you click on the photos, it's tiny. When you look at it, it is really small.
It's about the length of my phone, and it's about... maybe 2 inches thick.
What are the knobs on the side? Are those like volume and gain controls?
One is volume. No, one is volume, and then your headset. Like I have a Bose noise canceling headset, like yours. Actually, I just copy you, Troy. I want to be you. I have my Bose headset plugged into the back of the mic. There's only two plugs. One's for power, and one's for a headset. And so the knob on the left controls your headset, the volume there, so what you're hearing, and then the one on the right is the volume for the mic.
Oh, we'll put a link. I'm looking at it on Amazon right now. It's very, very, very compact.
I give it a big thumbs up. I can throw this in my bag, and it's awesome.
Well, we'll know in a couple of weeks when this goes live, and you can listen to it.
This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website at presentationwhiz.biz, my blog at pptwizblog, and Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint in your web browser and you'll learn all kinds of things about me.
This is Echo Swinford with Echo's Voice. You can find my website at echoesvoice.com. Or you can just search for Echo Swinford in your web browser. You don't even have to add PowerPoint for me. I'm the only one. Thank God.
And this is Troy from TLC Creative Services design studio team that really enjoys all aspects of presentation design, graphic design, and website projects. Check us out online at www.tlccreative.com, thepowerpointblog.com, and facebook.com/TLC Creative. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.